This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Stepping into the spotlight now is Maggie Dawn, and this week on the Maggie Dawn Show, she sat down with Jeff Mandel of Law Forward to discuss the new case against Michael Gableman for his role in the fake elector scheme.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name's Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so excited to have my next guest joining us because an absolute bomb dropped today. Perhaps better late than never might be the theme. If you haven't heard yet, folks, former Supreme Court Justice, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman has today been charged with attorney misconduct by the organization that is charged with investigating attorneys in the state of Wisconsin, ensuring that we all comply with our ethical obligations. That organization's name is the Office of Lawyer Regulation, referred to by lawyers as the OLR. Again, the OLR has filed formal charges of attorney misconduct against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman for his conduct, I'll say misconduct, in the manner in which he executed the Robin Voss requested and funded quote-unquote investigation into baseless conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, wasting upwards of $1 million in taxpayer funds, violating open records laws along the way, engaging in intimidation of public officials, and frankly, lying to the court and making a complete jerk of himself. Yeah, lawyers aren't supposed to act like that. With me today and with each and every one of you is the general counsel for Law Forward, an organization in the state of Wisconsin that looks to protect your voting rights as well as our civil rights writ large and help hold those in power accountable. His name's Jeff Mandel. He's been on the show before, friend of mine, now a friend of yours. Jeff, welcome back and thanks so much for sharing some of your day with us.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. It's great to be here today.
Now, this complaint by the OLR against former Justice Gableman, this was largely in response to a 100-page letter, a complaint that Law Forward filed. Can you tell us about the specific allegations that your organization made about former Justice Gableman's conduct of this pseudo-investigation?
I'm not sure that we have enough time for you to want me to detail all of them. Let me put it this way. Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. He took on from the beginning a matter that was beyond his competency and knowledge. He violated his duties to his client. He lied to courts in two different counties, and actually multiple courts in Dane County. He mistreated and lied to opposing counsel. He lied to the public and misled them. He told his client one thing and then testified in the legislature to the exact opposite. If you remember, and I know you know, Maggie, the attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. In some states, it's really short, right? I'm going to follow the rules and support the Constitution. In Wisconsin, it's quite voluminous. Our grievance to the OLR showed that Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
It's pretty remarkable. I have been basically freaked out about this in terms of what does this say to other lawyers, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but nationwide. We look at Rudy Giuliani, who's frankly disbarment, I think, is yet to become permanent in the state of New York. We look at John Eastman in California. And my thinking was, where is the OLR in the state of Wisconsin? And how have they not charged former Justice Gableman yet? How long was the period of time, Jeff, between when your organization filed what I'm going to call sort of an omnibus complaint on behalf of basically every single last taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin and every citizen and the OLR's action today?
Well, we filed that complaint on March 2nd of 2023. And so it has been an extensive period. But what I would say is that the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they move forward. And today's complaint shows that in that time, OLR conducted a thorough, careful, and extensive investigation. There are 10 separate counts in this complaint today. And I expect that the Supreme Court will be very, very interested to read this.
And who decides in the end whether or not Justice Gableman, former Justice Gableman, faces any sanction for this volume of wrongdoing? This, as you put it, Jeff, violation of every sentence of the attorney oath that every lawyer in the state of Wisconsin takes.
Ultimately, that will be decided by our Wisconsin Supreme Court. They run the bar. They are in charge of enforcing attorney ethics. So we have this complaint today. There will be a process for Mr. Gableman to contest those parts of it that he thinks are inaccurate. And ultimately, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will decide.
Now, in the ordinary course, and this certainly is anything but ordinary, Jeff, in the ordinary course, how long does it take for the complaint to be received by the lawyer, for the lawyer to respond? Does the OLR conduct a hearing? Does it immediately go to the Supreme Court? What's the process here? What's the timeline on that process so people listening know what to expect?
Sure. What happens now is Mr. Gableman will receive a copy of the complaint against him, and he will have a period of about 20 days to file a response about whether he agrees with the factual allegations that the complaint lays out or not. If he chooses to contest them, there will be an evidentiary hearing before an independent referee. So the OLR acts as the prosecutor. Mr. Gableman is entitled to counsel and can defend himself. And there will be a report with factual findings and a recommendation on what the proper sanctions are. And that will go to the Supreme Court for its review. So this could take anywhere from a few months to another year, year and a half. But what is most important ultimately is that we will get to the end of this and there will be accountability. As you said at the beginning, it is more important now than ever as we head into the new Trump administration that we make clear in Wisconsin and beyond that bad actors who violate the law, who flout ethical rules, will be held accountable.
It's interesting to me, Jeff, that this is occurring on the very day that the prosecutors, the district attorney's office in the Manhattan criminal case against Donald Trump for those 34 criminal counts, today was receiving briefing about whether or not Donald Trump's sentencing should proceed. And one of the responses that I have had to the election, which frankly for me has always predated the election, is for every single one of us and every single one of you that are listening, while the national political dialogue tends to dominate our news, it is what happens at your state and local government that has the most direct and immediate impact on the quality of your life. And I think so too here to an extent, right? That here under each state is responsible for attorney licensure. And so it is up to the states and their different attorney governance structures to ensure that attorneys are not engaging in these wholesale ethical violations. And we've seen attorneys, again, you're not supposed to make a filing without having a reasonable factual basis. You're not supposed to say untrue things in courts when you have been sworn. Those are all sanctionable actions. And we've seemingly seen scores of this sort of unethical behavior by lawyers across the country by those aligned with the former president. You mentioned that there's going to be a, quote, independent referee that will hear what I assume will be Mr. Gableman's disputing of this complaint of attorney misconduct filed by the OLR. Who decides who the referee is? How are they selected? What pool do they come from? How do we ensure that they act in a nonpartisan, unbiased way?
These are great questions. And unfortunately, this is not my regular area of practice. I am not usually involved in ethical complaints and misconduct here in
Wisconsin.
That's
a good thing, Jeff. Not knowing the particulars here is always a good sign. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. My understanding is the Supreme Court will appoint the referee. And like with any judge or proceeding in Wisconsin, each side will have the chance to say, I don't like that person, I want a different person, once, one substitution per side. So hopefully this will proceed pretty quickly. And as I said, the referee will make the initial recommendation, but the Supreme Court makes the final judgment. And so I think we can be confident. To your larger point, I could not agree more that we should be looking to our state and local governments for this kind of enforcement. And we are in a good place in Wisconsin. We not only see this here today, but in just a couple of weeks, we will have the first hearing in the criminal prosecution of the lawyers who created the fraudulent elector scheme here in Wisconsin in 2020. So accountability is having a moment here in Wisconsin.
And accountability, again, on the state and local levels. I think that point cannot be emphasized enough, as well as the fact that former Justice Gableman will have due process, quite robust due process, ultimately being heard, as Jeff has explained to all of us, by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It certainly makes the Wisconsin Supreme Court election in April, this coming April 2025, certainly makes that important on a whole number of fronts. If you care about reproductive freedom, it matters. Certainly, if you care about voting transparency and accountability, it matters. And now this issue as well. Do you think that this will get some airplay or be brought into that Supreme Court election this coming April?
I think it might. I mean, it's not a partisan issue. It's not even an ideological issue. This is really about good governance. At the same time, this is not Mr. Gableman's first time at the Supreme Court over this issue. There was a major ethics complaint about his 2008 successful campaign to join the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And ultimately, because he could not participate in adjudicating that, that ethics complaint failed on a 3-3 deadlock. So I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes something of conversation as we look toward what the Supreme Court will be hearing. This case will certainly be something that comes up before the Supreme Court either next year or the year after.
Folks, that is Jeff Mandel. He is the general counsel at Law Forward, discussing the complaint filed today against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman for his conduct of the Voss-funded and requested pseudo-investigation into the election of 2020. We're going to come back with Jeff, discuss the hearing before the Supreme Court yesterday, considering Megan Wolf, the executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission, for holding over in that position. Republicans often say there's a rule for thee and a different rule for me. We discuss next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
For the next segment of the Civic Media Spotlight, we're leaving the stage and heading to the doctor's office. Up next, we'll hear from the Earl Ingram Show, and he was joined this week by Dr. Omar for their segment, In the Pharmacy. With RFK Jr. nominated for head of the Department of Health and Human Services, they discuss the future availability of vaccines.
The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go In the Pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if
doctor, my eyes. Tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
All right, you are officially in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show. Dr. Omar, how can people get in touch with you?
People can always call at 262-429-9429 or go to the website weltopiarx.com and send me a message.
Calvin, and how can people follow up if they need to get some information?
Yeah, you can always watch a replay of the live stream on YouTube, Civic Media's YouTube page. And you can always find the archives of our shows at civicmedia.us/shows or on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts.
You know, Dr. Omar, whooping cough. And yeah, the fact that, again, this was something that was basically eradicated. Yeah. You know, maybe it might be something, Dr. Omar, that, you know, we wouldn't be. It's amazing to me because it's not just whooping cough. It's a lot of other of these illnesses that were eradicated that are starting to come back. And we know why they're starting to come back is because people have decided to forego the vaccinations. You know, it's one of those things, pay me now or pay me later, right? I mean,
pay me later. I like the analogy. Yeah, it makes sense. It just makes a lot of sense. And it's just simple science. And this is the science of the vaccines is very complex. And it started from the age and the era where millions of people were dying. And then we need to, the challenge of the vaccine is that we are creating medicine for people who are actually healthy. So the safety profile is very high, and the challenge is adverse events are very low, but misinformation is huge. And if there are information about one vaccine that is kind of, people are like, one vaccine is politicized, doesn't mean that every vaccine is. So I can see where the problem is. I want to give you an example of my wife who has her immune system is not as strong as everybody. And every winter she takes many supplements, but she gets cold and flu and she stays at home for a week every time she gets cold and flu. But when we started to giving her the vaccine, and she's taking care of herself, she exercises, she takes her supplements, she doesn't get influenza. So it is kind of, you have to look at the community and to yourself, and you have to understand that what worked for someone else is not necessarily going to work with you, and you have to follow your doctor's advice, you have to follow the science and validate this science and understand that the vaccines that are provided that have been traditional vaccines available for long years, these millions of people have taken and there was no problem. On the contrary, they were protecting the community from serious disease. Like whooping cough, when it comes back, it just makes me feel like, okay, so it's not coming back in Panama or Egypt or a developing country. No, it's coming back in Australia, in USA, and it's just the challenge is the future doesn't hold a lot of funding for the research on the vaccines, Earl. So I'm worried that Medicare and Medicaid are not going to have enough funding for those crucial vaccines. I am worried that even the marketing and the marketing segments to talk about the importance of these basic vaccines are not going to be as strong. So We have to fight for the good science and the good information for people.
You know, Dr. Omar, and so for those of you who are listening, any other questions that you have are welcome. Dr. Omar will answer any of them, so don't feel like this is the only thing that we can discuss today. But I clearly, Dr. Omar, you know, the holidays have snuck up on us. We're going to be forced back inside. And maybe we haven't prepared ourselves. Maybe this came, you know, we've been able to move around outside. It's been in the 50s. And so we haven't had to, you know, be locked inside. But that time is arriving swiftly. And yeah. So all it takes is one person who has contracted this, especially children, and a room yeah. full of others who have not been vaccinated themselves, and you got an epidemic in your own family.
Yeah, it's challenging. So I am just telling and warning my customers and patients, be prepared, support your immune system. And if you feel like there is so many people around, you do not need to hug them. You do not need to hug everybody. That's just... shake hands and then wash our hands, you know.
So we're gonna talk about lipids, the definition of what lipids are, how critically important they are. And you know, we don't sit around, the average person, talking about lipids. Hey Calvin, how many times have you had a conversation about lipids?
Probably never.
Right. So, but guys like Dr. Omar and doctors do, and we're going to find out more about it. You're officially in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show.
Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we'll hear a segment from Matt and Air on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed in, once again, retired Major General Randy Manner to discuss what the second Trump administration has in store for the military.
Come in.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live, partly from my dining room and partly from Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter after the 11 o'clock news. It's a round of, yeah, let's not do this regarding a recent flight from Milwaukee to Canada. And one of the passengers on board. Of course, every show we wrap up with, this shouldn't be a thing. Today's thing is the slow speed chase edition. So stick around for that coming up at 11:51. Very happy to have our next guest join us. Once again, Randy Manner is a retired Major General with the United States Army and also a member of National Security Leaders for America. Good morning, Randy. Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Absolutely, Jane. Good to see all of you again.
Well, there have been some selections for the upcoming Trump administration, and there's a couple that I wanted to cover with you.
But let's start with Pete Hegseth, Randy, as the head of the Department of Defense. Of course, Pete Hegseth did serve. He served for 20 years, but he's a Fox Weekend News host. And the Department of Defense is a sprawling agency, is it not?
Yes. Well, I mean, the way to think about this is, for your listeners, is that this is an organization of way more than 2 million people and a budget of over $800 billion. So understanding, and it's extremely complex, the Department of Defense is not sit by itself. It also includes, how do you interact with Congress? How do you interact with other governments, other militaries? How do you interact with other parts of our own government to ensure that our national objectives are taken care of and that we're all kept safe? It's very, very complex.
He's also said some things, Randy, about women's place in the military. And he said that women should not be serving in active combat roles.
Yeah, and I question what planet he's on. I respect the fact that he served our country, and that's awesome. I really wonder if he understands that there are many ways where combat is all around you when you're in combat anymore. It's not like there is a front line. Like, these are clearly combat and these are not. I know he'll say things like special forces and so on. My attitude is, if you can do the job, I don't care who, what, where you come from or your gender or your nationality. It's all about, can you perform what's required in the job? Unfortunately, he is going to put other, he's already said it, he has biases against certain kinds of people, to include women.
And what about gays in the military, Randy? I'm curious your opinion on that. Was that disruptive to our armed forces?
Absolutely not. Not one bit. Remember, I served for 36 years in all levels as an officer, and absolutely positively, never a single moment. So, and I will tell you, I mean, I think people who bring that up, they're stuck on their bias, unfortunately.
And there is a certain group of people that seem to be excessively obsessed with other people's sex lives. And I guess I just don't understand that. When I have time to be thinking about other things, that's rarely what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I get it. I think there are some people that are much more concerned about other people than they are about themselves living their own values and virtues. It's unfortunate. They want to impose their thoughts on you.
Well, and they want to, and I feel like they want to impose their Christian-inspired morality on all of us.
Yeah, I mean, last time I checked, we absolutely are a rule of law nation. I know there's a tiny percentage of 10% people who wish it wasn't that way. The reality is, we still are, and we will continue to fight for the rule of law in all aspects of what we do.
If you're just joining us, our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner, also a member of National Security Leaders for America. I saw this as well, Randy, and I have to imagine that this is not going to sit well among members of our military. The Wall Street Journal, reported earlier this month that President-elect Trump's transition team is working on an executive order to speed up the firing of top military brass if it gets approved. This draft executive order would set up a warrior board of retired generals and non-commissioned officers to review 3- and 4-star officers and recommend anyone, quote, lacking in requisite leadership qualities.
Right. Well, what?
So they're going to, he just wants to purge. It seems like, it feels like a purge.
Well, it doesn't seem like, it is a purge. It's a purge of people who may not be loyal to him personally. That is the criteria on which they will judge. And by the way, that panel, that board, it's going to be made up of predominantly very old white men. They might find someone else to be on it, but it's going to be predominantly the people who signed his endorsement letter, which were predominantly old white men well into their 80s. And they are unfortunately not understanding the value of everyone has something to contribute. And it's very unfortunate that we are looking, quite frankly, to the moral equivalent minus, I hope, the executions of what Stalin did, where he said, if you're not loyal to me, you're out. Of course, he meant out permanently, and I don't think Trump will go that far. Removing 3- and 4-star generals who don't pledge allegiance to him, yep, that's going to happen. And by the way, completely legal, because the president has immunity, according to the Supreme Court. So I want all your viewers to understand, could not, won't happen. I'm going to tell you it's going to happen. It will happen.
So the question I have then is, because what we're seeing with the cabinet are, I mean, the cabinet nominations are sycophants, yes men, the all-stars of his rallies. I mean, they're all recognizable faces from whether it's Fox News or just the regular news. But with these generals, with these military people who signed their endorsement of him, as you said, old white men, they're going to have to replace these outgoing 3- and 4-star generals. Will they just end up bringing in all of these old favorites back and say, we're going to reinstate you for a bit and then replace you? Or just say, you got the right idea. Now go lead my army or my military.
So it's a combination of both. Could they absolutely recall people to active duty? That is not only legal, but the president can do anything he wants. Mm. It is absolutely legal to recall any retired officer or NCO to active duty. That's number one. Number two, you know, you kind of yank or fire a senior qualified officers based on experience, their experiences and being around the world, and replace them with less qualified people. You have less qualified individuals leading us. Are they likely to be yes men as a result? Probably. Are they going to be more experienced and more capable? Absolutely, positively not. That's why in the military, whether it's an E5, or meaning a sergeant, or whether it's a lieutenant colonel or a commander in the Navy, you just don't go out and hire those people. They have to have all these experiences over years of training and working with different units around the world and different militaries to get where they are. You just can't snap your fingers and replace them.
Well, and snap your fingers and replace them with people who do not have the decades of experience. Yeah. What they have is complete and utter fealty to Donald Trump. Right. It's just so dangerous.
So one way to think about this for your listeners, because and this is not trying to be offensive in any way, but the average American does not understand what it is like to run a 2 million person organization with $800 billion. So if getting this down to, if you're part of a car dealership or you own a farm or something, and you say, I need a mechanic, and someone says, I've got this guy named Bob. You need Bob. And he says, okay, great. Well, what kind of experience does Bob have to be a mechanic? Oh, well, no experience, really. He's got some tools, but you know what? He'll do anything you tell him to do. Okay, I'll guarantee you that car dealership or that farmer is not going to hire Bob. But yeah. You know what? That's what's happening at our national level, is because Bob looks good and Bob will do whatever you tell him to do. And I want Bob. That's not what the average American wants.
And the problem is, we live in a society now where if you don't hire Bob, they're like, why won't you hire Bob? He is the best. He's better than your guy. But also the question I have really quick, it's a logistical question too, is if they go through on this and they fire, I mean, I don't know how many 3- and 4-star generals there are. I don't know how many will be fired. I'll have to say more than a few. Do those longtime, lifetime officers lose their pensions because they're fired?
Okay. So at that level, anybody who is a 1-star or above on average has enough for a military retirement. Mm-hmm. But remember that Trump already threatened to recall, starting at the top, Admiral McRaven, General Milley, General Kelly, and other 4-star generals, Admiral McRaven, to recall them to active duty and to charge them with treason. If that happens, they could remove their benefits. They could put them in prison or worse.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that it is sending a chill through all of the military ranks right now, to include retired officers like myself that have spoken out in terms of the concepts of democracy. However, I will continue to speak out for democracy and for treating each other with dignity and respect, because that's what our country is based on. So,
and we thank you for that, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Randy Manor is our guest. He's a retired Major General with the U.S. Army, over 36 years of service and serving our country, and a member of National Security Leaders for America. And we're talking about President-elect's plans as he heads into his second administration, talking about bringing back these retired Major Generals and former admirals and holding tribunals for them. Good heavens, what is that going to do for morale? Aren't we already having recruitment problems with these various branches?
So informally, there's a lot of my like-minded colleagues that say the majority of Americans have voted for Donald Trump. We are not election deniers. We accept the fact that he has won this election. And therefore, we say, okay, let Trump burn it all down and give the people what they voted for. Lower Medicare, lower the actual, recruiting will drop, not increase. It will significantly drop because parents, moms and dads do not want their children to join a military where they're being led by less than the best leaders in the world, not by political hacks, because their sons and their daughters' lives are at stake. See, when it gets more personal, people get more real.
Yes.
When you think about the national level and the presidency and Congress, that's all make-believe. It doesn't really impact me. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have good leaders leading your sons and daughters, people will get hurt or they will die. And that includes even in training, by the way.
Yeah, this isn't some esoteric thing. This is going to touch all of us, as we have been saying for at least the past 2 years. And there's a provision within Project 2025 that we're going to get to on the other side, Randy, as far as bringing back, it's a draft in some form. And now we are seeing some of the authors of Project 2025 being named as members of the Trump administration. And even though he had nothing to do with it at all and knew nothing about it. So we're going to talk about that when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, global civic media radio network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll hear a segment from Mino and the Mayor. Jim and John welcomed on Terry Barr to talk about the latest feature in her series, Slice of Wisconsin, all about jolly good soda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Man, this goes quick. Well, in the last half hour, Terry Barr is in house here. Not in house, you're online.
Hello.
Good morning. What's happening?
Well, we do this Slice of Wisconsin every other week, basically, and I bring you something that hopefully you don't know everything about. So this time we are featuring Jolly Good Soda.
Yum.
When is the last time you've had some?
Actually, it's in our grocers now. Well, it's back.
Didn't they win some big award?
As the coolest thing?
They won, yes, the coolest thing made in Wisconsin this year. Yeah. It's a manufacturing award. But, when you think about this, they have been around. It's J.B. Crier, and the Crier Preserving Company started in 1913 in Random Lake, which is basically outside of Milwaukee. At that time, they were canning beets, peas, sauerkraut, corn, and beans. So prior,
I can see why that didn't last.
Nothing to do with any kind of soda. That's
yeah, don't
for sure.
mix the waters yeah. there. Oof.
Okay.
Right. So by 1931, so he was having to, at that time, lay people off because he didn't have enough work for people. And he thought, no, I don't like this. So he started working on other products, and guess what he came up with?
Hmm. Our very own.
Yes, the soda. And it took off. So by 1966, he got rid of everything else and went all in on soda. Oh, wow. There is this very straightforward commercial. I sent it to Todd. Todd, go for it.
The next time you're in a food store buying cola, root beer, orange, or any flavored soda, take a good look at the price. I mean a really good look. At Jolly Good, we believe in quality, but we also believe in value. We want you to get your money's worth. That's why you'll usually find a lower price on Jolly Good soda, lower than any other canned soda. Next time, take a good look at the price. For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
Wow.
Bravo.
Okay. I don't remember that, cool. but wow, that's they hit everything. The good value, the wow. So continue your story, because didn't the kids can kind of bail this thing out? I mean, you
are exactly right. It did hit a rough patch. And yes, other family members came in, they bailed it out, they got it going, started small. It was almost like they started all over
right.
again. It's becoming just as successful again today. And I think, Nikki, you said
yes.
that you found it in your store.
Yep.
I just recently found it in a gas station. So it's back out there. But mm-hmm. I think there's somebody we may know that's giving it an extra push these days. Todd, let's play this from Charlie Behrens.
Folks, it's me, Charlie, host of the Mandwalk Minute, here to remind you that your at-home bar setup ain't complete without a Jolly Good floater for your brandy old fashions. I like to go to Sour Power.
The Sour Power.
Mm, that is delicious. Okay, so, okay, this concludes the PSAs. Everyone watch out for deer. All right, bye-bye.
Jeez. That's funny.
Okay, so
that is
he
funny.
Has Sour oh, Power, great. Stockton
sour
Howard,
power. Yep.
His refrigerator. We have orange. My favorite, well, two. I have two favorite Jolly Good flavors, grape and cream soda. The cream
you
soda
do.
Is like a dream. Oh, it's so mm-hmm. delicious.
So, Terry, this soda, this Jolly Good that you're doing,
yeah.
That's getting a lot of ink, not just here in Wisconsin, right?
Oh, you are so right. Years ago, when it became so hot in the 60s, it grew outside of Wisconsin. Everybody in Wisconsin at that point knew about it and was enjoying it, and then it started to grow across the Midwest because so many people would come up to Wisconsin during the summertime and would take it back with them. It's kind of like Spotted Cow is
yes.
now.
Yes.
But it's happened again. Yeah. It's
awesome.
People now can order Jolly Good online and have it delivered. So now it can go anywhere and anybody can have it. And I know Nikki was mentioning those classic flavors, and that's what people want. They want that good old-fashioned feel and taste and knowing, as the mayor said, they're supporting something really great that's happening. Yeah.
Right
don't
here
think,
in our very own state.
Yeah, I don't think Grandpa Cryer was selling a lot online in 1915. I mean, give those kids credit for, you know, understanding different
of
distribution
course.
And obviously, you know.
Yes.
But to stay with the core product, I think, is the story here.
And it still looks
yeah,
the same,
and
too.
And they're in the same location.
Yeah,
the,
yeah that's true.
Random
Lake.
The logo's mm-hmm. the same.
Yeah.
The cans, they are no mm-hmm. longer like the traditional soda can. They're more of the
elongated.
The skinny.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Like
oh.
your energy yeah. drinks or some of your
okay.
seltzers.
Mm-hmm.
But they taste just as good
cool.
as right. when
do
I
the,
had them as
do
a
the
kid.
Grocery stores have them now?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep. I don't know.
I haven't seen them in Madison, so I'll have to check. Yeah.
Check your festival.
Mm.
And then, yes, check it. Quick Trip. might actually have them.
I think I'm going to buy some of that cream soda for next week, Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then mix it with a little
ice cream for the kids.
A little flavored whiskey.
That's all right.
Kids will sleep.
Your daughter's
going to
love you. Right.
Jim's talking about ice cream. Michael's talking about something else.
That's fine. I think all of those flavors would pair well with. Libations.
I've looked at each flavor and I'm like vodka, gin, bourbon.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I am not kidding. Well, I am 100%.
I did do that. So
I bet.
Well, they do have recipes on the website.
See?
Wow, awesome. Yeah. We got to do something to get through that parade. No, parades are fine.
Are you in the parade?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I got to sit next to Mino for an hour and 10 minutes. So,
Terry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Here, I'm going to let you
with
in
no
on
commercial
a little,
breaks.
A little fun nugget, Terry. We're going to be handing out candy, right? Do you want to take a guess what we're handing out?
You have to tell me.
Tell me? I don't know.
We are going to be handing out dum-dums. Yay!
Now, that parade's not this Saturday, is it?
It's
this
Saturday. It's just days away.
Oh, I thought it was next Saturday. I can't make it.
I have 10 bags of dum-dums in my car right this moment.
Okay.
Logoed with 97.9 WGBW.
Their face on the dum-dum.
You and I both, Terry.
What happened to the M&Ms?
Bye-bye. We don't have the budget.
You didn't call me. Ugh. Okay. Hey, Terry, stick around. Are you working on something else with Slice of Wisconsin? You want
to
talk about?
Can we keep talking to you? Or do you gotta go?
Sure, I'll stick around.
All right, we're gonna be right back. All right, Michael Freeman's here with Simple Life Hospitality. Nikki and the Mayor, we'll be right back.
A dreamer of pictures, I run in the night. You see us together, chasing the moonlight.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.